Well, we know it's been wet and wild and crazy out there, but the sun's out today. It's going to rain again tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next. I do know one thing. Rain or shine, sleet, snow, hail, if they've got power, there's one place in Chico that has shelter, food, water, beer, wine, and happy hour. That's the Handlebar.
Yeah, they're located at 2070 East 20th Street on the south end of town here in Chico. They've been longtime advertisers here on our show. We stand by them. I was there within the past week.
We'll always be there within the next week.
It's a great beer selection. Yeah, like you said, they've got a beautiful indoor, beautiful outdoor situation. Regardless of what the weather's doing, you can count on great beers, especially during their happy hour. Like you said, Johnny, 7 days a week, 2 to 6 p.m., a dollar off any of those draft beers. Again, that's the Handlebar, 2070 East 20th Street. Go check them out, and here's our show.
Why don't we begin?
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.
Sure is. Welcome to it. This is a podcast. This is a radio show. It's a YouTube channel.
It's a multimedia platform experience
for the senses. And we talk about craft beer. We talk about film. My name's Max Minardi.
My name's Johnny Summers. Hello.
This week, we are talking about Dune 2. Came out very recently. It is the sequel to 2021's Dune 1, which is itself kind of a remake of the 2000s miniseries, which itself was a remake of the 1984 film from David Lynch, which was an adaptation of the novel from 1965 by Frank Herbert. We are covering the most modern iteration, in my opinion, I don't know about yours, the closest to the novel, which I've never read, but yeah, that's what I've heard.
You might as well call it Trickle Dune Economics.
Love that. That's nice. We give you our thoughts on that, though, we obviously need a beer or two. We're going to start with one, but Johnny, tell me what we're drinking this week throughout the episode.
Yeah. Our featured brewery this week is Cerebral Brewing out of Denver, Colorado. I've had a few things from them, Max. Have you ever?
Nope.
Sweet. Up first is Elusive Thought. It's a New England IPA that's 6.3%. And then our second beer of the day is called Endemic Species. It's a West Coast IPA with spruce tips that is 6.8%.
I don't know about that. That's going to be weird. Have you had either of these two beers?
No.
Okay, I'm excited too. If you're listening on the radio, KZFR 90.1 FM, we hope you're having a fantastic Saturday afternoon, or at least the kind of Saturday you deserve. Hopefully that's a good one, but you know yourself.
Yeah.
Let's see. You're only going to be hearing most of our show, but you're going to be missing some stuff. As a heads up, we will eventually be spoiling Dune 2. It's fairly new in theaters, came out this past weekend. And it's one of those movies that I think that people even, who like maybe only see movies like two or three times in theater in a year, it's like that movie that people will see. It's one of those. So if you haven't seen it yet, we're going to spoil it later. We're not going to spoil it yet. We'll give you plenty of heads up, so don't worry about that. Though if you do want to wait, you can go see the movie, come back and finish up our discussion in podcast form. And then you'll also catch Hot and Bothered, which is exclusive to our podcast listeners. And it's a crazy good time where who knows what we talk about? We'll talk about, I know what I'm talking about, which is actually a movie this week. But
I know what I'm talking about.
What is it? Give me a little teaser.
Two TV shows and a book.
Perfect. So stick around the podcast episode if you want that. Or if you're on radio, listen to the podcast version and you'll get all that and more whenever you get a chance.
Yeah, man.
Totally went off script for that. I'm sorry.
I wasn't reading along, so yeah, it doesn't even matter.
Neither was I.
I feel very loosey-goosey today.
It's one of
those
things.
Like it. Yeah. To find this episode in its entirety, go search for Fresh Hop Cinema. That's us.
That's us.
On Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all those major platforms. We've released new episodes every Friday since 2016, which means since you're hearing this on a Saturday, if you're on the radio, it's available to all of you listening on KZFR right now. If you like the show, please take 5 seconds. Leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That's where we get a lot of references to other people from you liking us.
Yeah.
So go do that. Let us know you did. Text us or brag, feedback.
Yeah. Text us. Shoot us a text.
Whatever you want. We just drink this beer. Watch this movie. Right. Or want to just talk about a movie. We're open.
I love that kind of stuff. I had somebody text us on the line. Who was it? Oh, it was a friend of the show, Ken, who said he had just watched The Zone of Interest. And then texted us, and I can't remember, I wish I had my phone on me, but said that, you know, he'd seen it and then was like extra something about it. I just remember he said, yeesh, and I went,
mm-hmm.
But it's nice to hear feedback about that kind of stuff. And in that case, it was something that we had covered, but even if it's not, let us know what you've been watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's our number?
530-433-0839. That number again is 530-433-0839. to hang out with us on social media, just search for Fresh Hop Cinema, all the places that you're already on, Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd, or Untappd, or just head over to our website, freshhopcinema.com.
Or head over to our other website, patreon.com/freshhopcinema. I'm going to get this Nat at some point. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it just now. Patreon, how you support our show. Give us a couple bucks. Do it. Why not? You can spare a couple bucks, probably. If you're listening on a cell phone, let's say a fancy new iPhone. If you're on an iPhone 10 or later, you can afford to give us a couple bucks, I think. I think that's like the economic line. If you're on like an iPhone 9, save your money.
If you're rocking that 6S.
If you're doing that flip phone, baby.
Yeah.
No, you can support us for a couple bucks. In return, we give you access to bonus content, invites to events like our March Bar Hang coming up, which is, what day did we decide?
22nd.
The 22nd of March. So you got a couple weeks. You can still sign up for that. You can come to that event. We'll buy you a beer, probably, depending on how much money you give us.
And if you give us a couple bucks, we're going to open one of the most expensive beers I've ever bought in my life.
We should shout that out, too. Yeah, we're picking up a beer.
I already picked it up.
We've picked up a beer at SNS Produce, great beer purveyors of Chico. The beer, can we just brag about it? Like,
we can do whatever we want, man.
Beer is on the shelves for $75.
Yeah.
And it's a beer from Anchorage. It's a 375 milliliter bottle, which is this big.
It's a little guy.
I don't really know much more about the beer.
So what really, is it Blessed? I believe is what it's called.
Yeah. It's Blessed.
It's one of their barrel-aged series, and it's got some adjuncts, and it's supposed to be crazy good.
No chance in hell it's worth $75.
I've had some beers from them that, like, secondary market go for, like, $125. Which is bananas.
Well, that's the beauty of Patreon, though, is that you don't have to buy a $75 beer. You can give us like $5 and we'll let you try it. We bought it and we want people to pitch in. So there's a few people in Patreon that already have. So we are going to loud that over the people that show up to the bottle and be like, aha, you didn't chip in.
Just look you right in the eyes while we drink it.
Which I guess is a perk of joining Patreon. We will exclude you from stuff.
Come hang out. We'll make you feel bad.
Patreon.com/freshhopcinema. Anything else, Johnny Summers? Are we back getting into beers?
I think that's sufficient.
All right. Housekeeping out of the way. Johnny, tell me about, you said it's Cerebral Brewing?
Yeah.
Out of Denver?
Yeah. I'm just going to read you a couple of snippets. I picked and choose some stuff from their About Me bio on their website. Cerebral Brewing was brought to life in 2015 by co-founders Sean Buchanan.
Sure.
I'll hand that to you. Let you open it. And Dan McGuire in Denver's Congress Park neighborhood along the city's famed Colfax Avenue. Since the beginning, Cerebral has focused on quality, innovation, and evolution in all endeavors, from the beer we brew to the culture we create. We embrace a scientific approach to beer by employing precise methodology and ensure quality and consistency. We are passionate about fodder-fermented lagers, imaginative IPAs, and our extensive barrel aging program. So they kind of do a little bit of everything. They, you know, run the gamut style-wise. I've had mainly dark beers from them,
but
I've never had anything bad from them. So I'm pretty excited to give them a try.
Wonderful. Sorry about a little bit of dirty glass you got going on there, dude. It's my place. I feel very responsible for that.
Who does the dishes around here?
Depends. But let's not dwell on it.
All right.
I don't know why I brought it up.
It's fine. So the first beer we're doing is called Elusive Thought. This is playing right into Max's wheelhouse. This is a New England IPA that's 6.3%. Not a whole lot out there online, so I'll just tell you what I found on Untappd, I believe it was. Hops, Superdelic, Racao, Rawaka, and Motueka. Mm-hmm. Bunch of fun words to say.
Yeah.
I love it. Tasting notes, pineapple cream soda, Hawaiian punch, and limoncello spritz.
This better be tropical AF. We're dealing with New Zealand hops. We're dealing with like incredibly tropical flavor descriptors. I didn't know pineapple cream soda was a thing. I don't think that is a thing.
It's got to be a thing.
If it's not, would you be into that?
I'd try it.
Cream soda in general.
You know, I like big cream soda fan.
I thought you were going to like go on a tirade about like big cream soda. Like,
got to fight the man.
All right. Okay. You've had your first taste.
Whoa.
Give me thoughts.
It's so soft.
Pillowy.
Pillowy.
Is it?
It's just gentle.
You said 6.3%?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to try it.
Tell me more. Mellow ABV, but yeah, super soft and pillowy. Just drinks like a little fluffy tropical cloud, man. There's definitely fruit juiciness. I wouldn't necessarily have picked out pineapple. A lot of fruit juice, though. Definitely a tropical vibe, but also just some of your run-of-the-mill domestic citrus happening.
Yeah. I mean, maybe pineapple. I get like there's a sense of tropicality here, a little. Very, very unassuming beer, though. It's not like the sweetness is masking the bitterness. I think it's fairly well balanced. It's gonna be hard to ignore that now. But it's well balanced. It's soft. It's easy drinking at first. I'm gonna try it again, but it's you know off the bat, it's okay.
Yeah, super mellow. Really, nothing about it standing out, good or bad. It's very just. Here, it's got a touch of sweetness, but it's not too sweet.
Yeah.
It's got a little bitterness, but it's not very bitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole lot of things, but none of which are very much.
I'm going to throw out the disclaimer that I've been sick. I've had a cold for about 5 days. I'm coming out of it now.
But so it tastes like pickles.
It tastes like almost nothing.
Okay.
No, it's not that. It's not that extreme, but it is. It does feel kind of muted, and I'm not sure. Again, first time I've tried it, so I don't know what it tastes like. Not ill. But yeah, I think I'm kind of up there with you right now. Like it's pretty, pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many sharp edges, not too many rounded. It's just very, very even keel.
Yeah. This is definitely like a people pleasing beer. Like
it definitely is.
Nobody's going to not like this. Like I don't usually love New England's, you know, as
yeah.
a rule.
Yeah.
And I don't mind
it's
it.
It's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't. It's not too sweet. It's got a little bit of bitterness, like I said, but it's just, there's no element of this beer that's standing out to me as being outstanding.
No, it's 6 weeks old.
Standing out to be outstanding.
Yeah,
it feels nice. Super redundant.
No, I get what you're saying. 6 weeks old. So brand spanking new, especially mm-hmm. from Denver. It's solid. It's really good. Yeah. I'd have it again. But again, yeah, not blowing me out of the water. But, you know, very, very much, I think I'm going to try to keep this term going. I said this of a Berryessa beer a couple weeks ago, which is that if this is in your area, awesome. So it'd be a local banger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that it stands the test of traveling the country necessarily and being the top tier of you know, any city it walks into.
Yeah.
But like a very solid beer. If I lived in Denver, if I was by the brewery, I would absolutely walk down to this brewery, get this beer as a go-to for sure.
Oh, yeah. This very beer good. Is rock solid. I could see this being on tap at any craft beer bar on their hazy IPA handle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the scale of bad to amazing. It's somewhere between average and really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I guess means I'm pretty much ready to rate it if you are.
Yeah, I think so. It feels like a 7.3 all day. It's just great. Like
good score.
Super solid beer. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Nope.
I love it. No?
Sorry, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Nope. Yeah. That was my no was for.
No, I said I love it. I meant to say, do I love it?
Oh, no. You always ask yourself questions that I feel like you already answer before you ask the question.
Do I love it? No.
Right. You're like, it's 7. Do I love it? See my first thing is what you should say.
Right.
But yes.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I like it a lot.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 7.
100%.
Really good beer. Yeah, it's great. Are you going to have any more? Do you want any more? Can I pour you some more?
Sure.
Here you go. Here's some more for you.
Thank you. That's plenty.
Here's a little bit more for me. And then just because it's in New England, I have to give you a little more. Sorry, your glass is bigger. Anything in the bottom there that is going to drastically change the experience? I tried to roll it a little bit. A
couple floaties, nothing bad.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing. No globs or nothing.
No.
It doesn't seem like it's that... That unfiltered of a New England IPA that we would risk that.
Yeah.
But you never know. We've had times on the show where it's just like, we have a very conclusive conversation about a beer and it's like, you want a little more? And it's like, a blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, oh, this is a different beer now.
Yeah.
7's a great score. Elusive thought. Anything else you got on this?
I would give it a try. We bought it at SNS, like you said.
Yeah. Good shout out there.
Yeah.
Okay, well then we're moving right along. Once again, if you're on the radio, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema. If you've tried anything from Cerebral Brewing, and you think we're right, you think we're wrong, we love evaluations. Get in touch. Like Johnny said, 530-433-0839. You can either leave a voicemail or shoot us a text. You can also email us, fhccast@gmail.com. And hey, if you like the show, help us out. Take a quick second. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review if you're feeling wordy on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, man. It only takes a couple seconds, and it's one of the most effective ways to get us out there. Get us in front of your friends.
Yeah.
Suggest to other people that type in similar things as you. So do that. Yeah. Next, what you ask?
What are we doing next?
What is next?
You ask.
I ask you. I tell you.
Sure.
The trailer for Dune 2. Don't go anywhere.
It's okay. I'm here. It's been a while since you've had one of those nightmares. Tell me, what was it about?
It's only fragments. Nothing's clear. You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades.
Luke!
My family's been fighting them for centuries.
Your blood comes from dukes and great houses. Here, we're equal. What we do for the benefit of all.
Well, I'd very much like to be equal to you.
Maybe I'll show you the way.
deal with this prophet.
Send assassins.
Fade Rotha. He's psychotic.
I see possible futures all at once. And in so many futures, our enemies prevail. But I do see a way. There is a narrow way through. My allegiance is to you. Do you believe me?
This is a form of power that our world has not yet seen. The ultimate power.
I will love you as long as I breathe.
You will never lose me as long as you stay who you are.
Consider what you're about to do, you poor Atreides.
Silence!
This prophecy is how they enslave us!
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Fresh Hop Cinema. It's a show about the worlds of craft beer and film. If you're listening on the radio waves of KZFR 90.1 FM, you're sadly going to be missing out on some solid gold that is available exclusively to our podcast listeners. So if you'd like to hear the whole episode, including the exciting end part, you can go subscribe to Fresh Hop Cinema on Apple Podcasts or wherever quality podcasts are found. It's currently available.
Is that funny to you, punk?
For your streaming pleasure. So at the end of this, if you're just dying to know what all the hot and bothered fuss is about, go have a listen. I just called the end part.
Oh, sure. Like, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
If you want to hear the end part of the stuff that we do. Anyways.
Dune 2. Denis Villeneuve. He directed the first one. He directed this one. This still stars Timothy Chalamet as Paul Atreides, Muad'Dib, Usul. I'm missing one. Oh, the Kwisatz Haderach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very involved sci-fi movie.
He's got more names than a member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
A lot of lore to it. It also stars Josh Brolin, stars Austin Butler. This is tricky. It stars Florence. She doesn't star Florence Pugh, but she shows up. There's also we got Javier Bardem, who appeared in the first one as well. For anybody that can't see my notes, which is everybody, Johnny put the characters from other shows these actors have been in. So I'm trying to really quickly go through and get this right. Stellan Skarsgård shows up. Who am I missing?
Did you say Zendaya?
I didn't say Zendaya. She shows up as Chani. She is a Fremen, which is the desert people. It's almost too complicated of a movie to set up everything. So let's just start with this. Johnny, thoughts on Dune 1 and how did you feel about Dune 2?
Dune 1, absolutely loved it. I thought it was one of the best sci-fi movies in recent history. I think Denis Villeneuve is just doing... He is maybe on the best, like, four-movie run.
2049, Dune, I'm missing one, and this.
There was a few before that.
Well, he's done about 11 movies.
Yeah, but, like, the last, like, four have been so good.
Okay, sure.
Except for Arrival.
It's crazy that you hate Arrival.
I need to rewatch
it. You need to rewatch it because actually, I'm going to write down as many of his movies as I can think of real quick.
Cool.
Please keep going.
So, Dune 1. I really liked it. I watched it a week ago just to prep for this. It was...
Oh, I did too, actually.
Nice.
I rewatched it, yeah.
You kind of have to. It's so long and these movies are so dense with lore that like to just jump back into the sequel, it would have been a lot of, wait, but that guy did that.
Yes, right.
A lot of putting the pieces together, so... Just got to rewatch that last week and really just kind of reveled in it. And the world building, the character building, the just setting the groundwork for this space epic.
Yeah.
The biggest problems I had with the first one were it just got long in the tooth. It was a little slow, but it was.
Was it too long or was it slow?
I would say it was slow.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't say it was too long. You need 3 hours. There's a lot to get done.
Yeah.
But there were slow moments.
And this one's about 2:46. I don't think we said that yet, but it's about there.
Yeah. So I really, really liked it. I thought it was kind of the next step in the evolution of what modern science fiction can be.
Okay. What do you think about Dune 2?
I absolutely freaking loved it.
Oh, you did. Okay, good. Okay,
no,
good.
Hated it. Yeah. No.
I thought you might. I thought you were going to come out the opposite. You loved it.
No, that'd be crazy. No, I loved it. This is one of the better movies I've ever seen in a theater.
All right. Elaborate.
It was so big in scope and so well done. Like what he was able to accomplish with just the scale mm-hmm. of this movie mm-hmm. and the size of it, but also making interpersonal moments between some of the characters just feel really endearing and natural and mm-hmm. highlighting some of their acting abilities in the middle of this crazy science fiction landscape. I felt like I was watching something special. There was a moment about an hour and 20 minutes in where I was just getting emotional because like it was everything I've ever wanted to see in a movie.
You
like,
nerd.
Being
okay.
like a science fiction fan.
Yeah. And what was the moment?
I was sitting there. It was right after they were sitting Chani and uh-huh. Paul were sitting sure. on top of that dune and mm-hmm. like there's this big epic scene right after that with a bunch of people traveling and it's just all these ships all and right. it's just so all right. epic.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Star Wars. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, man, I wonder if people felt like this the first time they watched Star Wars. Like, because mm-hmm. this is something new. Like, it's something different. It's a progression of the groundwork that George Lucas laid, that all these fantastic science fiction filmmakers have made.
Okay.
And he is putting his own spin on it and his own touch. Mm-hmm. And he's making the best science fiction I've ever seen. Like, this was a fantastic movie. And my main gripes, the reason it's not going to be a perfect score mm-hmm. is because there were, again, moments where it got slow. Mm-hmm. And those slow moments felt super slow.
There's some pacing stuff for yeah. sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is your score out of 10, Johnny Summers?
It's a 9.8.
Pretty good rating, dude. Pretty good rating indeed. Okay. I like the first one quite a bit. I also rewatched it. Dune's not something I have a terribly long history with, affection or otherwise. I watched the old Dune when we did a review of it with our friend of the show, Chris Gomez. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chris. I didn't like that movie at all, nor did almost anybody. Mm-hmm. That one famously was pretty poorly received, but we watched it in anticipation of Dune 1, which I thought was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The scope of it is definitely gonna amaze most people, I think. Denis Villeneuve has a great sense of vision for his films, whatever they might be, which actually are things like Blade Runner 2049, for those that don't know, the Dune movies. He doesn't always do sci-fi stuff, though Arrival does count as that. But he also did Sicario, which mm-hmm. is very much grounded in reality. A film called Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, also very much a reality-based movie. Enemy, which kind of toes the line, also Jake Gyllenhaal.
And Jake Gyllenhaal.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, watch it. It's like one of A24's first release movies, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But he has a really good sense of capturing the world and the vision of the films he's making.
Mm-hmm.
So I think no matter what, you have to appreciate, in this case, the scope of the film. And like the spaceships are so huge. It's like, it's really breathtaking stuff. And it's a movie that if you want to make an argument against the 85 film or 84 film or whatever, like they just didn't have the technology to capture this idea.
Yeah.
So I think in and of itself, that's a reason to have made this movie, which mm-hmm. is sometimes the thing we talk about.
Yep.
It's a lot of exposition and a lot of backstory, which gets tedious for me.
The first one or the second one?
Both of them.
Okay.
But I'm talking about the second one. Even more so because the lore gets deeper. Like you have to learn more about prophecies and more about like how each culture that you got to learn more about the Bennett, you have to learn all these terms. And if you mm-hmm. don't know the terms, like if you're a casual moviegoer, a lot of it's going to be lost on you. And if you're not a casual moviegoer, if you see a lot of movies, it's still like you have to invest a lot of attention and love in this sort of thing. And if you don't get drawn in immediately beyond sort of the surface level stuff, it's really hard to attach to. There's things I appreciate about it. I hate Paul Atreides, which is a really kind of cool way to feel about a protagonist in a sci-fi film. Because usually it's like I actually hate Luke Skywalker just because he's annoying, but you appreciate what that guy's going through. And here it's like I'm rooting for Paul less and less, which is a pretty crazy idea.
No, it's not.
For the lead in a sci-fi film. Like you're actively rooting against the protagonist the longer it seems to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie does a really good job revealing kind of what his powers mean for the scope of his life and for the universe. And there's all these flash forwards he gets to like, which is basically going to be a genocide if he follows through on his mission, but he's like hell bent on doing it. I find that really provocative. So I'm interested in the ideas that this movie's talking about. I just don't know that I care so much to invest as much time as it's going to require to get into it. So really well made. I think performances are pretty good. Some better than others, which we can talk about in spoilers maybe. This is a situation where I'm torn because I want to rate it for myself, but it's also objectively very good in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm doing both things, which is I'm going to split the difference and I'm going to call it an 8.
Okay.
Good movie. Probably not my thing forever. Like, I don't think I'm going to watch it more than once again in my life.
I think I'm going to go see it again this weekend.
I was going to offer to see it with you actually, just to see if I missed something. Cause it does seem like it'll be better on a rewatch. Like Austin Butler's great. I'd watch all that stuff again. Mm-hmm. There's some really great stuff in it, but there's also some really like, all right, like let's keep it moving. Let's get to the next thing that we need to do.
Yeah.
Cause both of the movies have had that sense of like a MacGuffin where you're like chasing a goal and then you get to the end of the movie, at least in the first one. And it's like, oh, all right, let's now wait for the next movie. By the way, the third one's not even greenlit yet.
It is.
There's no script. It's not greenlit with Denis Villeneuve directing it.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
He's already signed on to direct Dune Messiah.
When did you hear that?
Like yesterday.
Because I read an interview with him, which I don't remember the date, so it might have been earlier. But he said, I am not for sure going to do this. If there's a perfect script, I will do it. But if there's not, I'm not going to, and there's not a perfect script yet.
Okay.
I can find that interview.
We will monitor the situation.
Yeah, and when there is third, be it, and this is the Sicario thing. He did Sicario, but he did not do Sicario Day of the Soldado, which was not nearly as good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that most Dune fans are going to be afraid if he doesn't get on board for the third.
It's going to be a problem.
So I don't know.
They'd be foolish to not have him. Like, let him help write the script.
Maybe he doesn't want to, you know? And he's not always a screenwriter. I doubt that he would take that upon himself.
Yeah.
You never know. 8 for me.
Okay.
9.8 for you. Big difference there. Mm-hmm. We both think it's good. You love it. I think it's a good movie.
You really have to be on board for almost high fantasy level of characters and lore and character development. And I geek out so hard on stuff like that. Yeah. Like the more the better. Like that's so my thing. Like I thought they could have leaned heavier into the lore.
Yeah. Which aspect of the lore would you have wanted more of?
The Bene Gesserit. Ugh. They were such a huge part of the books.
Okay.
That like.
That's worth saying. You've read the books.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've read Dune Messiah as well?
No.
Because that's the second book, right?
I think that's the third.
I think Dune is all one. And then Dune Messiah is the second book, which would be the third movie.
I thought I remember Dune being broken down into a trilogy. Oh. Could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was like in junior high when I read them.
Okay. So then for the people who are more like me, the Bene Gesserit are like the magical space witches of whom Paul's mother, the Lady Jessica, is a member. Apparently Paul is too, though it's not a thing because men shouldn't have these powers unless they are the Kwisatz Haderach, which is like
the chosen one.
Yeah. So they're mad that she's been teaching Paul this, but turns out maybe he is the chosen one. Mm-hmm. In fact, these movies probably wouldn't exist about Paul if he wasn't. So I think it's a safe bet. Continue. You want more of the Bene Gesserit?
I would say so. And there's also, I would love to see more of the kind of the lore around the Harkonnen family. They're a wild and crazy bunch of black and white looking people, man.
Or like, as Josh Brolin says in the first movie, they're brutal. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's like so just out of the blue. I was like, oh God, dude. Yeah. All right.
Calm down.
He's really sending it in this performance most of the time in Dune 1.
Yeah. Because he's full sending.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just a lot of that like background that you can't do, or else it would have been like a 4.5 hour movie.
Yeah, or a 2000 miniseries.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Children of Dune.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or just like Dune: the Harkonnens, House Harkonnen, right? Like that would be a thing.
That'll be like the next HBO Max spinoff.
Yep, yep.
The way they're doing like House,
and it's like 500 years before the events of Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a money grab from HBO,
mm-hmm.
And then it'll be behind its own paywall.
Yeah.
I don't care about that much lore, you know?
Yeah, I do. I'm a big nerd.
Yeah.
I like sci-fi games, books, movies. I like high fantasy. Like I'm into all that. Like
I am too, but I don't want it to be part of the experience. For example, I bought my dad for Christmas a couple years ago, a Tolkien encyclopedia.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about and defines all these things. It weren't even in the movies, but if you appreciate that sort of stuff, it's a companion piece, but I don't want it to be in the films necessarily.
Sure. I like it when it's integrated. Probably that's because a lot of my fantasy consumption is through novelizations.
Mm-hmm.
So reading books like that, it's just so dense. And you get all the lore and you get all the characters. And I'm so used to that being a total package experience that, like, I'm not mad when it's really dense and just a lot to chew on.
I'm not either if it's done right, but it's so easy to, and I think you'd agree, like it lends itself to slowing down the movie,
mm-hmm.
which though you might appreciate the content of the lengthening of the exposition or whatever, it does bog down the whole thing a little bit.
It can, yeah.
And I'm not, and I think that's what's happened in both of these films. I'm not sure if there's a way to fix that. My fix is just to leave it out.
Yeah.
And let people do the digging.
Just leave more unexplained?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's, you know, it's hard to say. It's preferential.
You have to find that balance though, because you have to have some of it to make anyone's motivations believable. But
yes,
like you can't leave all of it out, but if you put in too much, it's going to grind the movie to a screeching halt.
There's also some ways that you should and shouldn't do this. Like, and I know there was one moment in this movie where I thought like, that is the most on the nose upfront exposition. Like it was one character really explaining something to another character who for sure knows it. They were basically like looking at the camera like, this is the thing that you need to know about this special word.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, that's sloppy screenwriting.
Yeah.
So if they integrate it into the story, great. Good.
They did that really well in the first one because Paul had that, like, narration. He was, like, almost reading, like, a book, and it was, like, spoken. Yeah. So there was a narration about the planet Arrakis.
Oh, sure.
And that was a really nice way to present the lore as someone who was just learning about it himself. Like, we're all kind of learning together. Yes. That was...
You mean when he's... And there's, like, the projection of the...
Yeah. That's a really slick way to integrate, like, narration and
That's
lore.
That's true. That's good.
Because it was nice to look at. It was nice to listen to. And it was, you know, almost interactive.
I think... So it does both. It does that one. But then it goes even more kind of... Or rather less explaining when they show us that desert mouse,
mm-hmm.
which comes up in this movie too. Like they're really into that. I get it. It's a cute mouse.
They're really cute.
But after the sandstorm in the first dune, when they have escaped, him and his mom have escaped, they're in their little sand tent. They come out and there's a little sand mouse and we get this crazy macro close-up of his ear and a little drop of water. And he goes, and he eats it. Like that's enough for me to know that's how this creature survives.
Mm-hmm.
And probably is a part of how the Fremen have developed their still suits. Like,
yeah.
That's what the creatures that live here do. They recycle their water. That's what we should do. Mm-hmm. That's enough. Like, I get that. It was helpful a little bit to have the hologram display, but it was just like, it's still like they're teaching us this.
Yeah.
And I think there's a better way for us to learn.
One gripe I did have that I want to get out there was Javier Bardem's character was just over the top.
Do you think he was meant to be comic relief?
Almost, dude. Like, it almost felt like he had to be because he was so just like,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah!
Yeah, he's...
Like, you're the man!
His whole character is like really thinking that Paul is the... What is their word? It's not Quisit Haderach. That's the Ben Jesuit. It's the Lisan al-Gaib.
Yes.
He just loves saying that.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to... Like, he's the hero. Like, he's like looking at everybody like, it's him, right?
As you're seeing this shit. As it was written.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was totally Paul's hype man.
Especially like there's a moment towards the end where it's like, oh, it's like when Morpheus is like, I knew it. Mm-hmm. He's the one. It's like, all right.
Calm down.
Yeah, chill out, dude.
Yeah. The whole time I was like, bro, chill.
Yeah. And at least Morpheus is saying it to himself.
Yeah.
And Javier Bardem's like, everybody.
No, he's soapboxing. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little over the top for sure.
Yeah.
Any other favorite performances from this? I feel like Austin Butler did a really good job.
Austin Butler was fantastic.
As Fade Rautha.
Ugh. And even just the way he like took on that dialect of like speaking, like the inflections that Baron Harkonnen has.
Totally.
That Skarsgård puts into that character.
That like, actor has such a unique way of speaking too. Like in every movie, be it this or like the girl with the dragon tattoo or the Marvel stuff, he's mm-hmm. always got his same accent. Like he never changes it.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Yeah, like Austin Butler, for a second, I was like, is that Stellan Skarsgård's voice?
Right. Well, that dude can do things, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen how he had to like take voice lessons after Elvis?
Just to like to get out of that?
Yeah.
No.
To not talk like Elvis?
No, but that makes sense. I mean, he really kind of committed to that sort of
for like years.
Yeah, but chill out, dude. Like, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Thoughts on the black and white stuff?
I liked it.
Why?
Thought it worked. It was a nice contrast to the...
What do you mean nice?
It was nice that it was there. It had this stark contrast, man. I mean, it was just all this overwhelming dune color landscape.
Okay.
All the blues and all the bright sand and all that. It's, yeah, you
Did
had this
you
just...
feel the same way in Thor Love and Thunder with the Christian Bale black and white? Because it's the same thing.
Yeah, it was done better here.
Why?
Because it wasn't cheesy and it fit with the plot.
I'm confused logistically. I could have used some explanation why That is it a planet?
You just said you wanted less exposition.
Well, in this case, there was nothing. It was like now we're all of a sudden in black and white. And I appreciated the look of it. Like I think they probably did a lot of it.
Oh, it's because their sun was black or whatever.
All right.
Like they said that at the beginning of that scene.
Did they really?
Under the light of our black sun.
Then fair enough. I just missed it. It looked great.
Yeah. I loved what's his name?
Elvis. Austin Butler.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he's screaming.
Yeah.
And it looks like one of the zombies from I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Like really close. I was like, oh, that looks exactly the same.
Yeah. He's scary with no eyebrows.
Very scary.
That man needs eyebrows.
Yeah.
Please get those back on immediately. I loved every scene that Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya were in together.
I don't care.
I liked their chemistry. I believed it.
Did you really?
Especially the first and second act. And the tension between them in the third act was fantastic.
Yeah. I think we get into spoilers.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about with Dune 2 before we get there, sir?
It was so good. I loved it.
Okay. Once again, you've been listening to Fresh Hop Cinema. I'm saying that because you might be listening on the radio, which is KZFR 90.1 FM, of course. If you have thoughts on anything we've discussed on the show today so far, get in touch. Why not? Do it. Call. Text 530-433-0839. Or send us an email if you want. FHCcast, like podcast without the pod, FHCcast@gmail.com. When we come back, Dune 2. Spoilers. You haven't seen it yet? Maybe tune out for like 15 minutes and we'll give you like one last warning after this really cool sound, so don't go anywhere.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Danger zone. Danger zone.
All right, welcome to the danger zone. We're here.
We're dangerous.
It's time to spoil Dune 2.
And then the Ewoks showed up.
Sure. A lot of sandworms in this one.
Yeah.
More so than the first.
Yeah.
Effective or not effective?
Very effective.
What's your favorite sandworm moment in Dune 2?
The first moment that Paul successfully rides and stands up. That was so epic.
Sure.
That is such a pivotal scene in his character development and becoming ingrained in the Fremen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good scene.
Super, super good.
Just
the fact that they can ride those things is so cool.
I don't understand why the worms don't dive into the sand.
Because they're pulling them up.
Really?
They're
with their little hooks.
It like opens up.
I think I call BS on that. I think they have an understanding with the worms. I'm also confused. What's the big worm? The god worm.
The grandfather worm.
What's it called? What's its name?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
These movies are so dense.
I know. That's
what I'm
saying.
To remember just all the names they have for
no,
Paul,
dude,
man.
The worm has a name.
Yeah.
Dang. I'll think of it eventually.
Okay, I'll Google it.
All right. That worm is like, I guess that's what I'm getting at. It's like their god. It's like the god worm of the desert. It's not like one worm, right? It's, oh, here, this might help trigger. It's the tooth of, you know, the tooth of, can you make a clue? Or are you just going to say it? Give me a clue. I want a clue. Tooth of Shai Halud.
Yeah.
Shai Halud. Is that a real worm? Or was it like the spirit of the worms? Or like, what's the deal?
Pretty sure that's the name for all of the worms. That's like.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. Are you like trying to find out that right now on your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I prefer you don't.
Okay.
I would just like to assume that that's what that means.
Cool.
Because we can start digging for lore like we're mining for spice and we'll be at it for a long time.
I'm here for that, but
no,
we should.
Nobody else is. Or maybe they are. I don't know. Join Patreon.
I think everyone else liked this more than you. So
I liked
they
it.
Might be here.
I liked it.
Everyone else might be liked it more than you.
Well, maybe.
Text us if you rated it higher than an 8.
530-433-0839.
I know for a fact a few people I've talked to already have it rated.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. But until they write us both in as a podcast, I have no way to believe you, so you got to prove it. And I don't think those people exist. I literally don't think there's anybody listening who likes this more than like a 6. So
they're crazy.
There's some clickbait.
Right?
Yeah,
the worms were awesome.
Why was I bringing this up?
I don't know.
Worm moments.
Yeah.
You
wanted to talk about worms, man.
Yeah, I can't remember now.
Okay.
But its name is Shai Halud, I guess.
They're so rad.
Oh, I guess what I was saying is that they have an understanding with these worms, which is like, we're going to ride you sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the worm's like, all right, even though we're huge and don't have to, like, they could just roll.
Yeah.
I don't think the worms know they're up there. That's what I think.
Right.
I think they get lucky and we don't see the times that the Fremen die.
Right.
Like, I think most of the Fremen don't make it.
But I like how they use them as like a Greyhound bus. Like, we got to go across the desert.
Yes.
Everybody load up.
It's like a bullet train.
Yep.
But it's a worm.
Bullet worm.
Bullet worm.
New band name.
Yeah. So that's confusing to me. I really do like the Dragonfly helicopters. I think those are really cool. I love the sound design on those.
Yep.
Let's talk about the we're spoiling, and I haven't said that in the Danger Zone. We are spoiling this movie. Let's talk knife fight between Paul and Fade.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
I liked the choreography. I liked it.
Can I back up a little bit? Can we talk to where Paul kills Baron Harkonnen? What'd that scene do for you?
Pretty satisfying.
I was torn. You know? Like, I get it, obviously. Like, you murdered my whole family. Like, I'm going to kill you. But it doesn't feel like a hero protagonist sort of Atreides thing to do.
That's maybe because he's not.
Right.
Yeah.
He's crossed the threshold into, like, a new dude.
It's kind of like an anti-messiah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because he stabs him through the neck. And the dude's already, like, what happened to his cord? Who cut the cords? The Emperor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stabs him through the neck with his Chris knife? No. So this is what I'm talking about, the terms. It doesn't really matter.
His knife.
Yes. Pretty like you're down and you'll die like you'll die like an animal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to root for that. You know, you're like, ugh.
Atreides going dark.
You're just, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works, but it's like, yeah, dark.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I fight.
Mm-hmm.
Into it?
Yeah.
Choreography? Fun?
Yeah. I dug it. Really liked Austin Butler in a role like this.
Yeah.
I was not expecting him
to be. He's a psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So out of the ordinary for an Austin Butler role.
The Bike Riders hasn't come out yet.
No.
I could see him doing something like that in that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's usually pretty even keel. I mean, what are you thinking of besides Elvis?
That's it.
Okay. I'm sure he's been in other stuff. I can't recall it right now.
Yeah. It's pretty different than Elvis.
Sure. Very different than Elvis. Yeah, man. Any other favorite kind of moments of the film you want to talk about? I feel like I'm leading this more than usual.
No, it's fine. I'm enjoying answering the questions.
Great. I mean,
there were so many good moments. All of the stuff where Paul's with the Fremen was great. The whole process of him becoming one of them and all the tests and him doing that. Like, this whole movie is about Paul's character arc. And
yeah.
I know a little bit more about the arc that's happening, the arc that's going to happen, like where they're leading his character.
It just seems like a bunch of people are going to die.
It's not going
to
be good.
Like, he's just going to kill billions of people.
Yeah.
Because that's what he has to do.
Like
something.
The last words in this movie are like, the holy war is coming.
Totally.
What do you think about his mom?
She got scary quick.
She got scary.
She got real. To the point that even like the old Bene Gesserit, you know, what's the term?
Matron
mother. Holy
or whatever.
Mother, whatever. Yeah. Called her that.
Yeah.
She got almost unbelievably creepy.
And fast. With the voice.
Yeah. The voice is a cool thing
that
I feel like Paul didn't utilize nearly enough once he kind of had it after the first movie. Like, he probably could have used it a lot more.
Yeah.
Why not use it in that knife fight?
Right.
I don't get that. Yeah. Like, there's some plot armor there for sure.
She's gonna be.
If you have that power, you're probably using it all the time.
Yeah. Stab yourself.
Right. Like, I don't want to fight you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like he could have.
Yeah. It's a fair fight, though.
I guess.
Gonna beat him straight up.
I like that he didn't challenge the Emperor directly. Like, I think that was probably the coward's way out. Like, he could have been like, fight me. He's like, no, choose a champion. I will fight your champion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he gave him a chance. He said, stand or choose your champion.
Oh, okay. So. Sure. At least gave him the option.
Yeah.
I like that the movie also ends with the Chani perspective, where she's going out now to like ride him. She's like, I'm not putting up with this baloney from you, sir. The last thing he says to her is like, I will love you as long as I breathe.
And then he's like, hey, Florence.
By the way.
Hey, Florence Pugh. You want to get married?
Talk about compartmentalization.
Yeah.
It's like, I will love you, but you're going to stay in this side of my heart. And then, hey, princess.
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah, it's because he's listening to his mom and the Bene Gesserit.
They're
pulling all the strings everywhere. They're like the Illuminati.
Yeah. Yeah, the space Illuminati, the Bene Gesserit.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
It's good times.
I don't know. I watched it again once. I'll watch it with you.
All right.
And anybody else who thinks it's better than a 6 or an 8. I said 8 for the record.
Fair.
That's pretty much all I have on Dune. I'll keep my eyes peeled. I'm sure the next one's going to come out in 2 or 3 years and we'll see that and we'll talk about it and we'll go from there. It doesn't feel like one of those films that should be dependent upon the final chapter to be merit good ratings or not.
No, this by itself was awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to view it.
Yeah, it's our generation's Empire Strikes Back. I've
heard people say that.
Yeah, I've heard me too. My buddy texted me and said that earlier.
Who was your buddy?
Matt Satterfield.
Oh.
Shout out, Matt.
No. Yep. He left the clan.
That's fine.
but I've heard that compared a lot to that too. It's
gotta be more specific. That was some tough phrasing. He left the clan?
He left the clan. What do you mean?
That's good, I suppose. He put down his sheet.
What are you talking? Oh, the clan. Sorry, no. He left the group.
Yeah.
No, not where my brain went. Probably not where other people's brain went. If they did, shame. That's all I've got on Dune.
I could talk for 6 hours.
Maybe we'll do a bonus episode on Patreon about that. But
you would hate it.
In the meantime, well, then maybe you can have Chris Gomez on and I can produce it and you guys can talk for a while and I'll leave the room.
There you go.
Anything else on Dune 2, Johnny Summers? Anything you haven't said about Dune 2 that you need to say now?
Go see it on the biggest screen possible. It is worthwhile to see this in large format,
mm-hmm.
XD theater, just for the sound design
sure.
and the sheer immersive experience.
Yeah, I think
I
so
would
too.
Really recommend go seeing it.
Yeah, screen. I saw it in XD as well. Definitely the right move.
Bro, I had this old man randomly just buy the ticket and sit right next to me.
Doesn't that piss you right off?
I was so mad. But then he was just the perfect person to see a movie with.
Why?
He even chewed quiet.
Oh, nice.
He was just nothing. Just
how many people in your screening?
Like 12.
Man. And you saw it on Monday?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Dude, I saw it on Sunday at like 3 p.m.
I bet it was packed.
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 Packed. XD Theater, which is not like a ton of seating, but like still probably like, what do you think, like 80 people, 100 people?
Something
more?
Like that, yeah.
It's probably way off. Yeah, like so I got like sort of middle center. And yeah, it was full, dude. There was this one lady who was in, I don't know why this is relevant. Like if she hadn't caused a scene, I wouldn't have mentioned this detail, but she was in like neon rainbow yoga pants and like Uggs and like just like way overdressed, like had a blanket.
Okay.
Like was camping. She was going to camp in the theater. It's one of those people who's like, I'm taking up all the space.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care about people's bubbles. I don't care if I'm an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
Had that vibe. Turns out the vibe, I was right. It is the vibe. Midway through the movie, she starts hacking up a lung, leaves, comes back, flashlight on her phone, like looking around her seat for like a while. And then she finds whatever she was looking for and then goes to the edge of the aisle. She was also like midway through.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the edge and she goes almost to the top of her lungs. Thanks to whoever sprayed perfume everywhere and was really considerate of other people's feelings. Appreciate it.
What?
I don't know. Number one, I don't know who's spraying perfume like in a mid movie. Like, I don't think you're like, well, we've got to spruce up for the next scene.
Yeah.
Probably somebody was wearing perfume and like this woman was allergic to it, but she like caused a bigger scene than just drives me crazy when people do that.
Yeah.
And then I instinctively, the moment she started yelling, of which I am proud of myself, I went, shh. And then some other's like, have a nice night, lady. And then everybody was like almost clapping when she left.
Nice.
I guess the other point is like the theater screen that I was in, we're here to see the movie.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
Rather than like a talking crowd or people that are kind of half watching and babysitting their kids the whole time. It was mm-hmm. a good, it was a good group.
Yeah. I had a good squad too.
Yeah.
Except for medium old white dude. No. Oh. I mean, it was great, but also like, I like having both armrests. Like,
it's crazy. Were there open sides?
Like three or four on either side.
It really rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you real quick. I saw a movie. It wasn't Zone of Interest, so it must have been Argyle on my second screening.
Okay.
I got like the G9, G10, mm-hmm. the ones that are right behind the handicap wheelchair seating.
Yep.
So I can put my feet up. And almost no other seats had been taken in the whole theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there like preview time. And two people sat in those seats. It was like one and then the other. So they took one of my seats. I even pulled it off my phone. I was like, and they were not those seats. Their seats were somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in other seats. But I'm mad about it. Like, why would you bought tickets. You could have selected your own tickets at the ticket taker window. Mm-hmm. They make you say, here's the screen, pick your seats. They chose not even close to that spot. And then they decided to sit up there. Why would you do that?
That's rude.
Why not just pick the same row? You can't sit there when other people have bought those seats.
Yeah.
You inconsiderate boobs.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything the whole time.
That's crazy. I would have said something so fast.
What would you say?
Hey, you're in my seat.
And then they move like once, then I have to sit by them the whole time.
Is that your seat? Is that where you're sitting? Did you really buy the ticket right next
like,
to me?
Like, here's my ticket.
Yeah.
This is where I'm sitting.
Where are your seats supposed to be?
Go to your seats. You can't just do this.
Yeah, because then if they try and sit right next to you, I'll be like, did somebody buy the seats right next to me? You need to come make this you person
gotta,
move.
Yeah, you gotta, like, you gotta go.
Or I would have just moved them physically.
They're too old for that. You'd have broken them.
That's
but maybe that's what they need, you know? Just a little, I don't mean that. But
it is the greatest generation. They can take it.
They're probably about 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it really drove me crazy. Just, you know, if you want the seat, buy the seat you want to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's 2 hours of your life. That's where you sit. Mm-hmm. You've made that decision. You've made that bed. Lie in it.
Yeah. There's consequences to your actions.
Not when I'm around. There's not. Do whatever you want.
Sweet.
We need to go to more movies together.
Yeah, we do.
And we'll play Good Cop, Bad Cop. We need another beer.
Yeah, let's do
it. Okay, no more Dune. We'll be right back after this fun. What are we drinking next? A West Coast IPA?
With spruce tips.
Oh, heck yeah. Be right back.
Endemic Species. It's a West Coast IPA from Cerebral Brewing out of Denver, Colorado. It's our second beer from them today. West Coast IPA, 6.8%. Hops, what are we working with here, you ask? Simcoe.
Okay, I thought you were asking me.
Simcoe, Citra. Simcoe,
Simcoe Cascade, Citra, Idaho 7. Boom.
There you go. Thank you.
Colorado Cascade is what that means. I assume. Feels like a safe assumption.
Cascade. Tasting notes, you're going to get grapefruit peel, orange Jolly Rancher.
Not a flavor. That's not a real Jolly Rancher. I'm going to say that off the bat. I've been eating Jolly Ranchers a minute, dude.
Did they come out with an orange one that we didn't know about?
I'll Google it, but I don't think so.
Orange Jolly Rancher, coniferous forest, and the adjuncts in this bad boy are going to be Colorado spruce tips. So there's a little bit of Colorado in this cup just for you.
Well, good. Let me just go ahead and answer this. This is strange looking. I found an image. There's Jolly Rancher Hard Candy Fruity Bash, which I guess is still around. There look to be orange for sure. Nobody I've ever known has ever tried this.
I got to find orange Jolly Ranchers.
You can't even buy this. Can you? On Amazon, I'm looking. $14. Yeah, you sure can. You can buy a pound of orange Jolly Ranchers. I'm sorry for my cockiness. It's clearly a thing.
I'm going to bring you some orange Jolly Ranchers.
It does sound gross. It
sounds awful.
I don't want that flavor. But maybe it's good in the beer.
Maybe. You ever had a beer with spruce tips?
Yeah. Yeah, we've done beer with spruce tips for sure.
I've had a couple. I remember liking at least two of them.
We've done at least two of them on the show.
I had a... What is that place called? Ale Apothecary did a mixed wild fermentation ale with spruce tips.
That sounds like something they'd do.
It was fan-freaking-tastic. It tasted like drinking a Christmas tree in the forest.
I was going to say, it's got to be... I almost want to say that Anchor Steam Christmas beer has spruce tips.
That sounds like it could be true.
But I also think we've done an IPA with spruce tips before, too, from somewhere in, Northern California or... No, it feels like Northern California, maybe Southern Oregon. What is Timber Ales? Do they do one spruce tips?
They're from East Coast, though.
No.
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Are they like New Haven, Connecticut?
I think I want to say, yeah.
Then that's not what I'm thinking of. Okay. Unless they did Chasing Darkness, in which case that is what I'm thinking
of. They did.
They're in North Haven, Connecticut. Sorry, not New Haven.
And they're the ones that did.
Okay, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Sorry.
New Wolf? Gold? Good Wolf?
Good Wolf,
what do they do? What did they do that we've done?
They do all kinds of weird stuff.
Yes.
It was probably them.
They did that mushroom beer, I think, that we dug.
They did one with beets.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. It's probably good. Not going to read that. That's too much. But maybe that's what I was thinking of. I was for sure thinking of the Good Wolf.
Well, heck the past. Let's move on to the future.
Yes.
This is the beer with spruce tips that we're drinking today.
Delightful way to get me back on track. Nicely done. Johnny, you're taking your first drink for podcast listeners. You're taking your first gulp, I'll say. Thoughts. You love it. It's great.
That's really good.
All right. I'm going to try it now.
Yeah.
Say more.
That is very good. It is not nearly as bitter as I expected, but yeah, you're getting I get a ton of the foresty notes on the end, man. That's weird. I like it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm going to scan for a canning date again. It was really small on the first can.
Yeah. And I think I like that more than I expected to. That's surprising.
January 23rd, about 6 weeks.
Perfect.
Great. Same batch probably.
Yeah.
I guess I'll show the can too, just for onlookers of the YouTube. Lovely can. Triangles. It's green. Nothing too crazy, but still kind of very eye-catching.
Yeah.
I like it too. It's good. It's still not super sharp, not super aggressive.
No.
Very approachable in terms of palate. Very light. Fairly carbonated. It's got a bit of lacing around the glass. It's and we're drinking it out of two different glasses today, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not to say normally we share a glass. two different styles of glasses.
And normally we just have one glass between us with
a huge straw.
With two straws.
Bendy straws.
Yeah.
Made out of...
aluminium.
No.
Candy, bamboo.
The candy. The,
Red vines?
No. Sugary. More sour.
Red vines.
The
nerd ropes.
No. More like... you put them in ices. They used to make that a promo. You get an icy and you get one of these sour straws.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's not nerds. It's
not nerds.
Like that. Sour punch.
Sour punch straws.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be dope.
I love me a sour punch.
They're great. It would ruin this beer. But
those make excellent White Claw straws.
Oh, I'm sure.
So good.
You ever do we're never going to get to this beer. You ever do like a red vine straw in like Dr. Pepper?
I've done a red vine straw in Coca-Cola. Cherry Coke.
That'll do it.
Loved that.
Great. It so disintegrates good. Pretty quick.
But then it's just chewy just and delicious. Yeah. Yeah. Just eat it. Yeah,
that's a good move.
Candy straws are where it's at.
100%. Yeah. And great for the environment.
Obviously.
They disintegrate.
Yeah, you eat them.
Bad for my body's environment.
That's fine. But it's better for turtles.
It is.
That's all that matters. So the only thing about this beer that's really outstanding and notable is the finish. Like, it's a very pedestrian IPA the first three quarters. And then you swallow and you get that aftertaste and you're like, whoa.
Yep. Yep.
That is crazy.
Very
there
is just, maybe not piney, but yeah.
Super piney. Like I don't a pine
know
tree.
But it's a spruce tree, so I don't know the difference.
Spruce.
Very know. Sprucey, I guess.
Yeah. This beer's been spruced up.
It has. And I like it. Yeah. There's a very distinct kind of, I don't know what else to say besides piney. I guess I will say sprucey, though I think people have less of a reference point for spruce flavor than they do pine.
It's a very foresty sap type of outdoorsy.
Yes.
Like a fresh, crisp winter breeze blowing through a bright, brilliant green forest.
That's a nice visual.
That's what it tastes like.
That whole time I was trying to think of a Springsteen pun.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
The spear's born to run, baby.
Yeah, I was Let's gonna go. Try. I thought I was gonna try to say Spruce-steen.
Yeah,
which is not his name. That's what I was trying to think of.
Spruce-steen.
And then I realized it's Springsteen, not Spruce-steen.
Yeah,
yours is a lot better.
That's all right.
I like it a lot, dude. I think it's good. I agree with you. The real defining factor of this beer, the only reason it's gonna stick out in my memory of West Coast IPAs, is the finish, which in and of itself isn't even that. I don't want to say memorable because it is, but it's not even that assertive. It's just like it's like a little curveball from what you expected after the initial taste. It's an enjoyable curveball. Not blowing me away. Very good.
Yeah. As a West Coast IPA in the first three quarters, it's average.
Yes.
Like it's not, I would like it to be more crisp and more hoppy. Like it doesn't have much of a hop bite. It falls on the more mellow, almost sweet West Coast IPA side. And yeah, like we said, the thing that stands out is that wild and crazy finish.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Negatives? They make really understated beers. Like,
there's a place for that. For
there
sure.
is, but like, I like beers with more personality. And I think both of the beers today kind of lack identity. I don't think they really have defining characteristics that will make them memorable.
Should a beer have that in the scope of being a beer?
I mean, if you're asking me, yes. If you're asking the general consumer, probably not.
I think probably not.
Right? Like you want, this is a great consumer beer.
Yeah.
Like this is maybe not a beer for beer critics. This is a beer for people that will go to your brewery and buy a 4-pack and love it.
It's like, who are you making beer for?
Yeah.
Like this is the kind of beer you show up and want to have.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah.
But it's also not a beer that's making waves in the flavor world necessarily.
Yeah. And with all the beers that we try and review, I would like it to have more legs and more personality to be more memorable and stand out.
Yes.
It fits very well into a pre-existing landscape.
Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the scope of our show, that doesn't make for incredible.
Yeah.
It makes for a really good beer.
Super solid.
We'd like
again,
to make more of
just
this.
Like the first one, super, super solid.
Super solid.
But I'm not going to remember this when it comes to my top 10 or top 20 beers of next year.
Now, I do think we are setting ourselves up for an inconsistent review of this in a way, because there's been other beers on this show that we have raved about simply for being exemplary versions of their style.
This isn't even that, though.
It's not, but so, I want to make sure we're judging it by that criteria as well. For example, the one that always comes to mind for me is the Mayberry IPA from El Segundo. Not necessarily any flavors that jump out.
Yeah.
Incredibly. Like, it's just a really, really well-made West Coast IPA.
Like, perfectly well-made. The balance in that beer when it's fresh.
Yes.
Undeniable.
So despite the fact that there's nothing jumping out at you or being insanely unique, it's a great beer. So I want to make sure we're giving this that same sort of playing field.
No, like, you have to be unique and surprising and have a ton of personality and be awesome, or just be so fundamentally sound, I cannot find a single thing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And those are like some areas where you can reach for perfection.
That's not a two-way street, though. You can't be so unique and like only be leaning on that and also taste like trash.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most unique beer I've ever had, but I hate it. Like, that's still a bad rating in my book.
Oh, yeah. Like, you have to be good.
There's a sweet spot in there.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's what's fun about being a beer critic. It's so subjective. Dude, like, we get to decide.
And I give a little leeway there. Like, I've said this a lot. Like, I'll give extra points for creativity or trying something.
Mm-hmm.
barring it being like a horribly disgusting beer. Like if it's like a weird taste that I don't personally enjoy, I'm like, well, I still appreciate the swing.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Absolutely. No, this is very good, very safe craft beer.
Totally.
And I love that. Like there's room for that in the world.
I'm going to take the rest of this.
Do it.
You have a larger glass than me. I feel okay with that logic. I am ready to give it a rating if you are, except I'm going to go first. Is that cool?
Yeah.
7.
7.5.
Yeah, okay. That seems about right.
Absolutely. Super solid. I would not hesitate to drink either of these beers again. Saying something for the New England.
That is absolutely saying something. These beers fairly affordable? We'll say when we're not on the radio, come back for Hot and Bothered, we can say it then. But was it fairly affordable?
It was on the high end of affordable.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's okay. I mean, I can find out.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's on the higher end.
It's on the higher end, yeah. This is maybe we can say this because it's not explicitly numbers. This is the price you might pay for a pint at a bar rather than a can.
Mm-hmm. But it's still a pint, you know, and it's something cool from Colorado you might not normally see. I would definitely lean towards buying the second beer, the Endemic Species, the West Coast IPA with Spruce Dips again versus the first one. It's just so solid. There's no complaints.
Yeah. I'd lean towards the first one personally, but again, yeah, personal taste. I'd happily try more beers from this brewery. First timers on the show.
I want
to see what else they do.
I want to get some of their dark beers.
I would. Yes, you said you've had some of theirs before.
That's where they nail it for me.
Okay. I'd like to continue that conversation in a moment. We are at time for our radio listeners.
All right.
So let's do some end of show notes here. If you are listening on the radio, you might not know this, but you've been listening to the buttery voices of Max and Johnny on Fresh Hop Cinema. You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM. If you got feedback on anything we've discussed today, be it beers, be it movie, you can call, you can text 530-433-0839. Again, our cell phone number here on the podcast, 530-433-0839. Or if you want, you can just send us a good old-fashioned email to fhccast@gmail.com. Shoot it that way. We both read them, and we'll maybe respond to you.
That's right. Next week, we'll be covering a gosh darn movie. We don't know yet. No clue what it is. We're going to figure it out. Don't worry about it. Tune in. Find out.
Follow us on, like, I don't know if we'll actually post that in advance. We probably won't. Follow us anyways, but never mind. Sorry.
As a reminder to our radio listeners, if you want to hear the rest of today's conversation, which includes the always unpredictable Hot and Bothered segment, or if you want to go digging through 7+ years worth of episodes dating back to 2016, head over to your favorite podcast app and subscribe to Fresh Hop Cinema.
We will be back in your ears on the radio next Saturday, 4 p.m. Until then, watch some great movies. Watch some bad movies. Watch a movie. Drink some beers. If you drink enough beers, the bad movies become good, probably. If you enjoyed the show today, you can leave a tip for KZFR at kzfr.org. Please enjoy the rest of your weekend. And to those of you listening in podcast form, we'll be right back with a very exciting, never-before-heard Hot and Bothered. Don't go anywhere. Hot and Bothered. All right, welcome to Hot and Bothered. It's business as usual. If you transitioned from the radio and you really were eager to hear it, sorry, it's normal Hot and Bothered. I just tried to get you here.
Did you say it was different?
I said it was like never before heard Hot and Bothered.
Oh, God.
Hot and Bothered, business as usual. Though I want to say, what have you tried that is dark from Cerebral Brewing?
I don't remember.
Pull up your Untappd.
I don't have it.
Why?
It was in the time period when I wasn't keeping track of it.
Was that beyond 7 years ago?
You think I've been keeping track of every single fucking beer for 7 years?
I sure wish you had been.
Well, I haven't.
Damn it.
We were going to make an effort to do better this year and haven't.
I don't think that's a wee thing.
I haven't.
Yeah. Start.
Untappd is fucking annoying.
It is, but it's the best we've got right now.
But it's so annoying. All right. I'm going to look up Cerebral.
Okay. Maybe it'll jog your memory.
Yeah. Because I've for sure had a couple of them.
How do you think recently?
Within the last year or two, yeah.
Did you say at the top of the show how old this brewery is? I'm gonna look.
2015.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the 9-year-old brewery.
I've had Here Be Monsters for sure.
What doth be Here Be Monsters?
Here Be Monsters, that's right. They've done a few different batches of that. It's just a big barrel-aged stout. No adjuncts.
How strong?
I don't know. I didn't click on the link. I think it was like 7.
Oh, what?
No, 7? That's wrong. Let me see.
I want to know.
Let's see. My guess is like 12.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, they've done so many versions. I remember
I'll take any of them.
Having a batch of this. Let's see. Yeah, they're all different.
They're all like wildly different?
Yeah, let me see. None of the batches are clickable.
Oh.
They've done a bunch of batches. They're all in different barrels. Like batch 1 came out 2017. It was aged 12 months in Woodford Reserve barrels. Mm-hmm. you know, they've done stuff in Four Roses, Eagle Rare.
Budget whiskeys, baby. Not really.
The newest one this year was 10-year-old Rip Van Winkle, 12-year-old Weller, and 6-year Blanton's.
All of those barrels?
It was aged 25 to 28 months. They probably aged the beer in 3 different barrels and then blended it.
Ugh. Call me a heathen or a cretin.
Okay, you cretin.
Or a troglodyte or an unsophisticated wench, but I'm not sure that I'd be able to tell the difference between certain barrels, especially if you're blending. Like,
yeah, if you're blending, no. But like,
I don't know, dude.
It's fun to do stuff like that when they have single barrel beers.
Can you tell? I've never done that, but
you can. Because, right. You drink enough, like, bourbon, you can taste or smell or just notice, you know, especially, like, when it comes to sweetness.
I can tell the difference in bourbons.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that I've ever been able to translate that to a beer that's been aged in those specific bourbon barrels.
A lot and more comes through in barrel character than you think. Right. And it becomes pretty identifiable.
All right.
We should do that sometime.
Okay.
I will try and find, like, some barrel-aged beers that are specifically in different single barrels. With no adjuncts, like no coffee, no anything.
Here's an idea that I'm not going to follow up on, but you can do it if you think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Next year will be Cerebral Brewing's 10-year anniversary.
We're going to go.
We feature them on the show. No.
Okay.
They're going to send us these beers.
Okay.
These Here Be Monsters.
Okay.
And we're going to do 5 of them side by side.
I don't know if they have 5 of them.
They definitely do. I'm sure they must have saved some.
Maybe.
And they send it to us and we review it as their 10-year celebration. And we tell the differences. We give it a full review. And we do a special merch release for that, and we put on the radio and make it a whole thing.
That sounds fun.
Great. Can you get in touch with them?
I'll do my best.
Perfect. Hot and Bothered Proper?
Hot and Bothered Proper.
All right. What do you got, Johnny Summers?
A couple things. I have watched 2 television shows, one of which has completed, and the other is going to be an appointment-based experience for the next few weeks for me.
Give me one of them.
The first one. Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
Newest live-action remake, not M. Night Shyamalan's movie.
Yeah,
talking right. An 8-episode miniseries that just dropped on Netflix.
Okay.
Really, really liked it. It was a pretty faithful adaptation to the cartoon series,
mm-hmm.
While also echoing the conversation we just had about this show, about how, man, it's wild that we have the technology to do this.
Yeah.
Like some of the landscapes and the big giant cities that you come zooming in on, it's like the fact that we have the technology to do this well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like talking to my wife. I'm like, you know, Shalina, you remember how like awesome the first Harry Potter movie was?
Oh, yeah, right.
And like the big landscapes and the big buildings. I'm like, mm-hmm. This makes that look like garbage. Like the technology and the visuals are just so much better.
Right.
So really liked it. It was a... Not only a good nostalgia trip, it was also some just legit good entertainment.
Great.
It was a really very well done remake.
Sweet. You said Netflix?
Yeah. So like I'm stoked for season 2. Like I was great. Super into it. We watched the whole thing.
Speaking of Netflix, I watched a film that just released called Spaceman starring Adam Sandler.
Oh, I've seen trailers for this.
Yeah, it's from Johan Renck, who's the director here. And it stars this astronaut who's gone into space on a mission to investigate sort of anomaly in space out near Jupiter. It's this big purple sort of gash that's been in the sky for about 4 years. He takes it upon himself to go explore it, leaving behind his wife, played by Carey Mulligan. We find out pretty early on that she is leaving him, and he goes through an existential crisis because of this and talks it out with an alien spider voiced by Paul Dano.
Sweet.
That's kind of the movie in a nutshell. It's pretty weird. I think sort of interested in a couple basic ideas about humanity and the things that matter and things that don't. It's if you like Sandler in sort of his non-conventional, non-Billy Madison Waterboy kind of more dramatic roles,
mm-hmm.
maybe not quite Punch Drunk Love, not Uncut Gems. It's not nearly that sort of frenetic of a character. But if you like watching Adam Sandler, I think that's sort of a dividing line between people. Some people are just like, I can't stand that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a tolerance for him to maybe like him, I think check it out. It's I don't know. I think it's like an hour and 40 minutes, maybe something like that.
Okay.
It's split in crowds pretty much down the middle. It's got a 50% approval rating on most critic rating platforms and user rating platforms.
Hmm.
Worth a watch. There's some funny moments. Hearing Paul Dano call Adam Sandler skinny human over and over is pretty great. The spider eats Nutella quite a bit.
Okay.
It's a worthwhile watch.
Out of 10.
7. No, that feels high. No, I like the swing. It's a good swing. I'm going to call it a 7.
Wow. 1 point less than Dune 2.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it's not quite right, is it?
Wow.
Which I actually feel like I should consider because it's nowhere near that good. Shit, maybe it is. I don't know. No, I'm going to stick with it. No, that seems high. Six. It's a six. Okay. You're right. It's a six. Check out, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it if you get a chance.
Sounds fun.
Again, yeah, it's called Spaceman. It's on Netflix. Came out a few days ago. If you listening have seen it, please let me know. I haven't thought about it too much. I watched it and kind of went to bed and then forgot about it basically until today.
Okay.
I'm going to check that out. Okay.
So my second two things, one is kind of a footnote for you, but I'll start with Shogun.
Okay.
It's a brand new series that just debuted on FX, I believe last week or week and a half ago.
Are you TV FX or are you like streaming service FX?
Streaming service okay. FX.
Which is what? Is it FX?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not like it's an affiliate on Hulu. Stream. It's Hulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm watching on Hulu and the network that it is broadcasting on is right. FX. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a big swing myself and say this is the best thing on television right now.
Shogun. Okay.
Like 100%. This is the first two episodes dropped. We had like a 2-episode premiere and then it's going to be weekly after that.
Okay.
If it holds up to those first two episodes, this is shaping up to be some legendary television. It has everything. It has got the political intrigue, the cat and mouse games of politics. It's got the action. It's got the acting. It has got gorgeous, gorgeous cinematography.
Are there shoguns in this?
So many.
Oh, good. Okay.
So
great.
Many. And what's it's all set period? In feudal Japan. There's like a fall of like the number one ruler and his kingdom was divided into 5 houses.
Oh, okay.
And so basically it's a struggle for power and it's this whole
very
like Game of Thrones adjacent, but in feudal Japan. Like, it is choice.
On a scale of the Matt Damon film, The Great Wall, to Tom Cruise's The Last Samurai, where does this fall?
Much closer to The Last Samurai.
How much closer? I guess there's you have to know like 8 other movies to reference in the middle.
But. Yeah. I mean, it's different. This one isn't white savory. Like,
damn it.
Like that
one
was.
Okay.
No, I mean, and it's all Japanese actors. It's all in Japanese with subtitles. The amount of English spoken in this is maybe 10% of the time.
Oh, okay.
So it's very immersive and just you're hearing the Japanese language spoken at a very fast pace.
Yeah.
It's just so rich in content and the subtle acting in this is so on point. I have been singing this show's praises for the last like 7 days.
Okay.
It is my favorite thing on television right now. And I think if you love action, you know, samurai movies, like if you like Lord of the Rings, if you like, or not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
Sure.
It's like I said, it has a lot of those interweaving political elements and the struggles for power and the who's manipulating who. Yeah. Great action. Some incredible, like wild violence. Like it's for sure a TV MA show. Like
is it showing on TV or is it just going to Hulu?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I just have Hulu and I know it's streaming on FX. I think it's on FX on like cable.
45-minute episodes, full hours?
Rough, closer to an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that, like you think like 57.
They might be 58? TV hours, so like 52.
Okay. I feel like TV hours are like 45.
They might, I don't know.
Because you got to factor in commercials. I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out, like if it is on TV.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
All right.
But it is like TVMA. Like there's like nudity and not like violence. Like
nice.
It's R-rated for sure. But so well done.
Sweet. Like, Shogun.
I can't recommend it enough.
Okay.
And I hope that doesn't bite me in the ass, but like
based on
the first two episodes, I have all the reason in the world to be incredibly hopeful for this show.
All right. You mentioned White Savior, which means I can't not mention that I started watching Yellowstone because it has Kevin Costner, one of the all-time greats of white savioring other races. In this case, he doesn't so much care about the Native Americans to save them. He's more like, this is my land.
Mm-hmm.
You've watched Yellowstone. You stopped, I think.
Because we watched all of it.
You finished all 5 seasons.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the next one.
So does that include, by the way, there's like 2 prequels. There's like 1886 and
1883.
There's like 83.
But Respect.
Sorry.
Was fantastic.
And there's one other, right?
Yeah, I haven't watched it because I didn't have Paramount Plus.
So are the 5 seasons including those prequels or is it 5 seasons of like Kevin Costner's?
5 seasons of just Yellowstone.
Dang.
Plus the 2 seasons of prequels.
All right. So I'm on like episode 9 of season 1.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, and I'm going to tie this in with this episode this week because like not likable. The Duttons kind of suck.
They're kind of the worst,
like,
right?
They're hoarding land. And I'm at the point where, and maybe it changes, but I'm talking season 1, 9 episodes in, like, spoilers up to this point. How old is this show? Like
I mean,
2017.
5 years old, yeah. Plus some time between. So, yeah.
So he's got colon cancer. He's fighting that. Beth has no longer been drinking, but like everybody else is sketchy. They've just like strung up the dude who wants to build the apartment complex or whatever. So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
There's this sequence, and I think it's meant to be like a bravado, like him showing off Kevin Costner, where there's these Asian tourists taking photos of a bear behind his fence. And he's like, that fence, that's my land. Everything that way is my land. And one Asian dude says something which is translated by another tour guide who's like, he thinks it's not right for you to own all this land. You should share it. And he's like, boom, we just America. We don't share land. Which I think is meant to be like a yeah line. Mm-hmm. But it's really like, I think that's what the show should be about, is like how this family of like old money has taken land from Native Americans and like exploits their resources.
If you watch it as like a dark comedy or a satire.
A satire?
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't like any of them. I've just met the dude named Walker who came out of prison. Mm. You know the guy?
Yeah.
He's like a musician.
Yeah.
I like him. He seems cool so far.
He is cool. And he's a pretty good musician
too. Rip's all right. He's a musician in real life.
Yeah.
Is what I was told.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rip seems fine.
I like Rip. Everyone likes Rip.
I think so too. Everybody wants to Rip.
You know who Rip is, right?
You're about to say the breakup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like him with no beard and his curly hair.
Him without a hat. It's still like, ugh. But when he's in a hat on a horse.
Yeah. With the beard and the sunglasses.
You're about to say he could get it.
He can get it.
Yeah, I know.
All day.
Whatever. It's fine. White savioring done. You can't say white savior and not talk about Kevin Costner if you've been watching Kevin Costner.
He's got a new movie coming out. That's all about that.
Does
it's
he?
back to like Dances with Wolves era. Like
what a sweet spot he's found for that kind of stuff. Did you have anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I have that as well. I wasn't going to talk about it, but why do you
want to? Just a reminder, I'm rereading Empire of the Vampire.
Oh, good.
Because Empire of the Damned comes out in like 2 weeks.
It comes out in like 1 week.
Yeah. It's coming out quick.
Did you pre-order it?
Yeah.
On audiobook?
Yeah.
I've actually bought it.
I'm going to buy it.
I bought the paper version, so whatever. I mean, I don't want to say that I care more, but I do.
I'm going to buy both.
You can borrow mine when it's... Or do you just want to have it?
No, I want a physical copy. Yeah. I bought the first one in the nice hardcover.
Nice.
Shalina likes reading it and listening to the audiobook.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Or like alternating.
So she like follows along in the book with the audiobook playing. So she
that
has
would
like,
drive me nuts.
So she has like voices to the characters and stuff.
That's
I don't know.
Cool. You'd have to read so slowly.
Yeah.
Like
she reads too fast anyway. So she says that helps her slow down and consume, like digest instead of just read as fast as she can.
Oh, I see.
So retain
it kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Works for her.
But no, I'm going to be buying a hard copy of it. There's a bunch of like limited edition ones that look super dope.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a big fan of that, the sequel's coming out.
Yeah.
So start rereading the first one. Get caught up.
It's on Audible. You can order it from Amazon Books. You can also like go to your local bookstore and probably order it or pre-order it in most places. Jay Kristoff is the author.
He hates horses.
He does not have a good reputation for his horses surviving in books. You mentioned
Spoiler.
A website called doesthedogdie.com,
yeah,
which is a film website
that
tells you if in a movie a dog dies.
Mm-hmm.
They should have that for books, like doesthehorsedie.com.
Because of Jay Kristoff.
Right.
We're going to invent doesthehorsedie.com.
My last thing is that I was touting the merits of a show called The Tourist on Netflix.
How's that going?
Great. I finished season one. It stars Jamie Dornan as a fellow who loses his memory in the Australian outback after getting in a car accident, and he's sort of piecing together the pieces of his life. And trying to figure out why he's being pursued by these people trying to kill him.
Still good?
Yes.
Should I watch it?
I would watch it. It's a good watch.
Okay. Kind of in between shows right now.
Sure. Yeah, I'd watch it. Season one was maybe 8 or 10 episodes.
Okay.
Very worthwhile. Fairly witty humor, kind of. Like if you like Australian accents also, it's not always a...
I do.
Yeah. Like if you like New Zealand, there's a few accents where I'm like, if you like those accents, you should watch a show just for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's more to it than that, but that's maybe a selling point.
It is.
And now we're at the end of the show, and I will tell you the show wouldn't be what it is without the support of Bailey Minardi, everybody on Patreon. Of course, it wouldn't be what it is without Johnny Summers and myself. That would be a tricky show because there would be nobody hosting it.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any other announcements. We don't know what we're watching next week. We certainly don't know what we're drinking.
It's a mystery.
Walk
with us into the unknown.
And I guess that's it then. Yeah, go check out the Handlebar if you want good stuff, like food and beer. In the meantime, I am Max Minardi.
I'm Johnny Summers. Watch some good stuff. Drink some good stuff. Most importantly, be good to each other. Take care of each other out there. It's crazy on these streets. See you next week.
We hope you enjoy.
This is Fresh Hop Cinema.